Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. According to Jesus, God's word is like seed, and your ears are like the soil into which that seed is being planted. Are you ready? I ask because Jesus indicates in today's gospel that most people aren't ready. They're not ready to hear God's word, really hear it, and ponder it, and consider it. Or if they hear it, they allow other things to keep it from growing into the glorious plant it was intended to be. So as you hear God's word this morning, think not only about what you hear, but about how you hear. Whether some in the crowd who first heard Jesus tell this parable of the sower and the seed understood it or not, we don't know. For the most part, Jesus spoke in parables, as he says, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. That's a reference to the commission that God gave to the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Isaiah, who was sent to preach the word of God to a people of Judah who were already almost ripe for judgment. Isaiah spoke the truth to the people of Israel. We can read his words in his prophecy. But he spoke it in those prophecies and riddles, in symbols and in visions, so that only those who really cared to hear what their God said to them would pause to ponder the meaning of what was spoken. So too with Jesus. The people of Judea, of Israel at his time, were almost ripe for judgment again. So until his crucifixion and resurrection, it was still time to speak in parables, so that only those who had ears to hear, who really cared to listen, would actually learn. That group certainly included Jesus' 12 apostles. They didn't understand this parable when Jesus told it, but they wanted to. So they asked, and Jesus revealed its meaning to them, and now to us, and to all who have ears to hear. The seed is the word of God. Well, which word of God? It's the whole counsel of God. Everything God has said and inspired to be recorded in Scripture and preached by his ministers. But that everything isn't just a broad scattering of words. It's that everything that centers on Christ Jesus, like spokes on a bicycle wheel, all pointing to the center of the wheel, or, if you will, pointing outward from the center of the wheel, either way you look at it. Christ Jesus, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit is one God, one Lord. Christ Jesus, through whom all things were made in the beginning. Christ Jesus, who gathered the people of Israel and redeemed them from slavery and brought them under the covenant of the law. Christ Jesus, who cultivated the people of Israel and bore with them with great patience until it was time for him to be born into the world. Christ Jesus, true God and true man, incarnate, made flesh, in order to redeem all men from our sins by his righteous life and his innocent death on the cross. Christ Jesus, risen from the dead, who sends his Holy Spirit into the world through the preaching of his word and the administration of his sacraments in order to gather his church here in humility until he returns in glory to judge the living and the dead. Now that basically summarizes the whole Bible, the whole message of God, and all of human history. All of it together, and all of its many parts separately, zero in on Jesus, All of that is the seed that is sown whenever the word is preached. The word is sown liberally, generously, with a great handful that goes out and scatters the seed. It goes out into the world like a farmer who takes that handful and simply scatters it without targeting just one place or another. For the preacher and for the members of the church who observe that preaching as it's done in the world, out there, this parable is very useful because it helps us to understand why so many people don't hear it with faith, or if they hear it, don't become fruitful members of the church. But we're not here today to think about how other people respond to the word that's sown. We are here so that I can sow the words into your ears and so that you can hear it. And as you hear it, you need to be aware of the many obstacles you'll face when you hear it, and you'll need to overcome them by God's grace so that you receive the word with a noble and good heart. This is what happens, Jesus says, when the word is preached, when the seed is sown. Some of it falls like seed on a path or a wayside, where two things happen. It's trampled down under the feet of men, and the birds of the air come and snatch it easily away. These are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Well, how have you done so far this morning? Up to this point, during the whole service, with all the prayers and the chants and the hymns and the scripture lessons you've heard? Have you been distracted by your phone, thinking about lunch or school or a dozen things that happened this last week or a dozen things you have to deal with this coming week? Are you sitting in judgment of your fellow members, or of your pastor's own quirkiness? Are you listening to the words but not pausing to consider what they mean or how they apply to you? These are some of the things that trample all over the seed that's been sown, and the devil happily snatches it away out of your ears and heart so that it does you no good. It produces no repentance, no faith, no love, no awe in the presence of God or appreciation for His goodness, no thankfulness for His benefits. This is one thing that happens when the word is sown. Don't let it happen to you. There's another thing that happens when the word is preached, when the seed is sown. Some of it falls on rocky soil. It penetrates, but just a little. It sprouts up quickly, but the tender shoot soon withers and dies under the heat of the sun for lack of a root system. These, Jesus says, are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. You hear the word of God, you believe it, you rejoice in what you hear. For example, God is love. God loves you. But then you're satisfied with that. No need to study any further, dig any deeper. Why spend time reading through the Bible, reviewing your catechism, much less the other confessions of the church? Leave the theology to the theologians. Leave the deeper doctrines to other people. And so you're left with a superficial faith. Then along come the temptations, as they always do, especially the temptation to cave in the face of persecution, like the hot sun in the middle of the day. As you know, there's an increasing amount of persecution against those in our country who simply hold to the most basic doctrines of Christianity, former foundations of our secular society even, like the only true God is the God of the Bible. All other gods are false gods and idols. Sinners are justified by faith alone in Christ Jesus. There are only two genders. Marriage is between one man and one woman, and is supposed to last until one of them dies. Sex is supposed to be reserved for marriage, and children should be raised by a father and a mother, and certainly never killed in their mother's wombs. Well, those are very simple things, basic things, not even deep theology yet. But saying them in public anymore will get you called every name in the book and shouted down and maybe fired from your job. So if the seed has only sprouted shallowly in rocky soil, persecution and the troubles that come with confessing Christ will cause the plant to wither and die. This is another thing that happens when the Word of God is preached. Don't let it happen to you. This, too, is what happens, Jesus says, when the Word of God is preached, when the seed is sown. Some of it falls among thorns, and it starts to grow up, but the thorns grow up too, usually faster than the seed. And its growth is stunted and it's choked by the weeds, a pathetic little plant that doesn't produce any fruit. These, Jesus says, are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. You hear the word here in church, but then life takes control of your thoughts and of your decisions and of your heart. Cares like relationships you want to focus on, need to focus on, or societal issues that consume your thoughts. Riches like making money and saving money and spending money and all the things that have to do with a career. Pleasures of this life, like enjoying retirement, vacations, movies, food, drink, and all that go with those things. All fine things by themselves. But how can God's Spirit produce His fruit in your heart and in your life if those things have taken over your heart? This is another thing that happens when the Word is preached. Don't let it happen to you. But there is another thing that happens when the Word of God is preached, when the seed is sown. Some of it falls on good soil, where it springs up and yields 100-fold. These, Jesus says, are those who, having heard the Word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now we know there is nothing inherently good or noble about the human heart. As Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That applies to all of our hearts. But since the Holy Spirit is always working when His Word is preached to soften hearts and to open ears, that means He's enabling you to hear, to listen with a noble and good heart, to ponder the word that's being preached. You are not fated to not listen as the Word of God is being preached. And even more, when we're talking about Christians, as all of you are, those who have already been brought to faith in Christ Jesus and have been born again by water and the Spirit, well, guess what? You have a new man who is able to cooperate, even if weakly, with God's Spirit to listen to the Word with a noble and good heart, right here, right now. Now, if you're choosing, as one who has a new man who can cooperate with the Holy Spirit, if you're choosing to focus on other things right now, If you're choosing to let the seed sit at the surface of your heart without any effort to deepen your faith or your understanding, if you're choosing to make the Word nothing more than your Sunday morning routine so that it doesn't affect your thoughts or words or actions throughout the week, that's not the seed's fault. The seed is powerful to work in you, to change you, to give you a faith that can move mountains, to make you abound in works of love, to give you strength to face whatever comes, to keep Christ crucified always before your eyes. Some of the seed of God's word falls on good ground and produces much fruit, a glorious plant that God intends for all of you. Let that happen to you, and not just today. We won't hear this parable again for another year. So let its message stay with you, so that every Sunday and throughout the week, you're thinking about how you hear God's word, so that it may have its intended effect in you. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.